You're listening to your community radio station, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa. It's time for In the Garden on the Farm.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. I'm your host, Paul Massey, Director of Regeneration's Botanical Garden, joined by Marshall Paul, one of the programmers here at KKCR. And on today's show, we'll focus in on food security issues, opportunities for visiting farms and restaurants that feature locally grown produce. We're going to have a great show. Before that, though, we want to thank so much our generous underwriters who, in partnership with you listeners, keep us alive and thriving here at KKCR.
Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe in Hanalei is proud to support KKCR and its Ohana, offering organic groceries and produce, a cafe featuring fresh salad bar, hot meals and soups, fresh-made smoothies, and baked goods. Located in the heart of Hanalei, Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe, 826-0089.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building Island Koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored design and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
The Kauai store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kasiles. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Garden Island Hydro, assisting with all your aqua hydro soil growing needs. Nutrients, mediums, all natural compost tea, lights, aquaponic and hydroponic components, and more in their 1,700 square foot warehouse at Pui Industrial Park, Lahui. Family owned and operated. Open Monday through Saturday, 246-4769, 246-GROW.
Thank you so much to our underwriters. And thanks so much to our listeners and the supporters of this show. This is our week following the culmination of the spring membership drive. We had a lot of amazing support from our listeners. So many great folks who called in to renew or become new members on the show. And we're really, really grateful to you. And we raised a ton of cash here, which is going to go into some very wise investments of, staffing, which is quite efficiently done here, as well as keeping our equipment up and running. And I'm here joined by Marshall, my good buddy from the garden and fellow programmer on KKCR. Welcome, Marshall.
Aloha, Paul. What a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you in, and Marshall and I see each other each and every Wednesday anyway. Following this, we help to keep the beautiful permaculture landscape at Akamai Backyard in Kilauea expanding in terms of its plant diversity and managing the plethora of plants that are very well established there. So today we're going to be working with your co-host Felicia from the Kauai Soapbox Tuesday 4 to 6 on some permaculture projects there at the land. Marshall and I planted some cacao trees.
I was just wondering, have you looked at those
close
recently?
To a month ago, and the trees are not looking as happy as I want to see them looking. And thanks to Michael, who suggested that perhaps they're too exposed to the wind in that particular location. So we've got some strategies we're going to employ and give them some safety while we're waiting for those pigeon pea to grow up and provide the needed cover for them.
Right. Good. while they're waiting for us to come to the rescue.
Yeah, so we are going artificial in the temporary stage of putting some cages and some fabric around those trees until, again, the pigeon peas, the companion nitrogen-fixing plants that we planted in the same bed can provide them shelter from the winds. But our wing beans are coming up and just about to take hold of the fence, so that's exciting.
It's amazing how much food actually comes out of that yard, isn't it?
It is, and we're going to be talking in some detail about some of those plants later on in the show as we delve into the concept of food security.
The high-yielding, easily maintained plants.
Yes, yeah. Some key plants we want to have positioned in every community in multiple locations as we get ready for an event coming up this Saturday. Get Ready Halelea is being put together by the Hanalei Watershed Hui. It's this Saturday at 4 p.m. at the Hanalei Neighborhood Center, and it is focusing on disaster response and, of course, being ready to respond rather than figuring it out when it actually comes up.
And coming at it from a community preparedness point of view, so taking agriculture into that discussion. How can we be prepared to access and use our agricultural abundance, our sustainable sources of food that we work so much on? How can that come into play when there's an emergency?
Indeed. So we're going to get to that later in the hour. Before then, we're going to speak with Marta Lane from Tasting Kauai on food security as well as other issues. Right now, we're going to start with our celestial session reading for today, our look to the heavenly skies above for inspiration and guidance on our daily and weekly gardening and farming activities, which could be planting, pruning, compost making. The list goes on. But we'll start with our Hawaiian moon, brought to us as often by the 2016 Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, thanks to the Hanalei Watershed Hui once again for that publication in partnership with many great local, regional, and national organizations that all put in. And I learned something interesting today as we flipped the page to the 1st of June that the uhu, or parrotfish, I know this is hanging on your wall, Marshall. I'm not sure if you got a chance to flip the calendar.
I have not done the big flip.
Okay. But really interesting. I'm not much of a user of the ocean resources, but I know that that's a critical part of life here culturally and in modern day world. And it's so important for us to know how to understand managing the resource. And the parrotfish, or uhu, they live in family groups, I've learned, from the Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar. And they have harems. So there's one male and many females that they breed with, and it makes it critical to not harvest any of the males, which have a very easy to distinguish different coloring to them, because essentially it would mean that that whole harem of female fish would be unable to spawn during at least that year.
So is that a technical term, harem?
Apparently so, according to the calendar, this beautiful Hanalei Moon and Tide calendar available from Hanalei Watershed Hui. So we're going to go to our reading for today, and today's Hawaiian moon is Ka Loa Pau. And we see the moon waning in the sky, moving toward new moon. Ka Loa Pau rose over Kauai today at 3:12 a.m. this morning. She reached her transit, her highest point in the sky, at 9:34 a.m., and she'll set at 4:01 p.m. this afternoon. 15% of the moon's beautiful face is illuminated today. And we have new moon coming up on Sunday at 4:59 p.m. And Ka Loa Pau is the last of three Ka Loa moons in the emi, or diminishing phase of the moon. And this particular moon is sacred to the god Kana Loa, god of the ocean, and other things. So grateful for that tie-in as well. Planting recommendations: it's a good time for planting bamboo for braiding hats. Plant plants with long stems like the mai'a, banana, ko, sugarcane, vake, paper mulberry, and ohe, bamboo, for they will grow long. Uala, sweet potato, and uhi, yams, will run to long vines. and hala will develop long leaves. We'll be talking about the uhi more later as one of our key food security plants. And as far as hala goes, I was so delighted to see a hinano, or the male inflorescence of the hala tree, hanging over the highway just before you get to the studios here,
nice.
Between Foodland and the turnoff to the studios. So wonderful that the native plants are just right up in front in our community, and it's great to see so much new native landscaping and new projects coming together, and the residential community that's recently been established alongside the highway in Princeville near the shopping center has a beautifully established native landscape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice. There's sweet potatoes and taro patches coming up in the front yard there.
Yep.
Hey, what's going on with the planting on the highway project where they took down the albizias?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's in an establishment phase. They have completed the plantings. Now they're making sure they established well, so all of this rain we continue to get is working well in that favor. And it's interesting because I went by on the bridge yesterday. There was actually a broken albizia branch from heavy flowering combined with the rain caused this branch to fall. Well, this branch came from a tree that's growing down in the valley, which was way out of the project scope and ability for the tree trimmers to address. So again, there's always more that could be done. But I know that those guys completed the scope of their project, but we're going to have to keep trimming these trees. And just as a reminder, keep your eyes out, because the combination of multiple plants going into flower at this time, flowering trees in combination with the rain, means we're going to be seeing more and more broken branches on the roads. And it's good to expect some delays. I always laugh when I see the sign on the highway that they put up around construction areas that says, "Be prepared to stop," which seems like you always should be prepared to stop when you're driving.
Yeah, right.
You should have a sign telling you you should be prepared to stop. But we should expect some obstacles in the road given the time of year and the flowering that's occurring on some of our trees combined with the rain.
You know, the bees love the albizia flowers.
The bees do. Yes, Marshall Beekeeper is, I know you've been excited that this food source is coming into play now.
Mm-hmm. Makes some very nice honey, too.
Yeah.
Very light golden.
Do you observe the bees being more active because of the flowering? Are they, and how does one observe that? You see more transits from to and from the hive, or how do you observe that difference when the nectar-producing plants start to really come into season?
Yeah, the bees might start making more honey. They've been pretty pressed and to put aside a lot of reserves. But mostly you just hear them singing a happy little song.
Well, I can't wait to hear that song myself. I certainly hear the reverberations of that song when I taste the beautiful Kauai honey that the bees, in collaboration with our fine beekeepers, make together. Sweet music for sure. So this is In the Garden on the Farm on Kauai Community Radio, and I'm going to finish up our celestial session reading with the biodynamic look at things, courtesy of Heaven on Earth Starts. And once again, Heaven on Earth Starts, great contributor, underwriter here on the program, and I'm always learning new things about plants and gardens from Robin, and I'm really grateful for that, and she shares the knowledge with us. We are in the ascending moon phase right now, and that is a good time to be harvesting the results of our former plantings and cleaning our garden. So the reading for this week, Wednesday through Thursday, the moon is in the constellation of Aries, a fire sign, making a good time to be harvesting our fruit as well as pruning our fruit-bearing plants. Friday through Saturday, the moon in Taurus, an earth sign, and it's time to work with our rooting plants, grooming, weeding, and don't forget to feed those root-bearing plants, because they're not going to make a lot of roots unless they have proper nutrition, and we have such depleted soils in so many cases, we need to remember to be feeding these plants on a regular basis. Sunday and Monday, the moon in Gemini, an air sign. Flowering plants, however, due to various alignments of constellations, this is noted from the biodynamic perspective as an unproductive time, Sunday and Monday. And that's lining up as well, Robin notes, with the Ole moons, which are also seen from the Hawaiian knowledge perspective as also unproductive. During that time, we're entering the descending moon phase of early in next week. We come out of the unproductive time on Tuesday when the moon enters Cancer, a water sign, making it a good time to work with our leafy plants and greens, leafy crops. And again, we're going to be talking more about those perennial greens and other food-producing plants coming up on the show. But right now we are joined by our special guest for today, Marta Lane of Tasting Kauai. This is a woman who really brings awareness about the hard efforts of farmers all over the island, and she does it in so many ways. She's a publisher, she's an advocate, and she is a leader of tours, and she makes great observations in the restaurant as well as in the field. So, Marta, thanks so much for calling in the show today.
All right.
Marta.
Hello.
I've just given you a beautiful introduction, and I see that due to the settings on my board, you couldn't hear it. But welcome so much to the show today, and we're joined in studio by Marshall as well. So,
aloha, Marta.
Aloha, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, and we have a lot to talk about, and we are going to be focusing in on food security issues in depth later on in the show. But I know that that's a really important driving force for you as well. You know, we love to eat locally grown. It makes so much sense on so many issues. But I'd love for you to share your the fire that burns inside you for food security for Kauai.
Oh, well, it's really an honor to be able to share all of the great things that are happening on Kauai and to be able to live, as one of my favorite farmers puts it, a lifestyle, activism through lifestyle, which means my whole life is basically dedicated to food security on Kauai and within the state. And I'm really fortunate because I get to do that through experiencing food, whether it's grown on a farm or prepared at a restaurant, and then I get to tell people about it in a myriad of ways. And behind the food security, there's also this memory I have of growing up with my family, and my mother in particular. She's from Barcelona, and we'd go to Spain like the whole summer when I was in middle school, my brother and I and my mother. And, you know, they would sit around the table and enjoy food that was made from scratch, and they'd talk about cherries. You know, they'd argue where the best cherries were grown or which region made the best wine, and they'd talk about what they were going to make for dinner. And, you know, as you're probably really well aware of, genetically modified organisms are not really a thing happening in Europe. They really protect their food, even down to the origin, you know, where it was made. And so those, I guess, are my roots. And we also do food tours. I'm always trying to connect people to that communal table where you share food that was grown sustainably with people. You make friendships. There's laughter. There's memories. So I guess that's kind of the whole thing behind what I do, if that makes sense.
It sure does.
Connecting people to the communal table. I like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and I know for me, it seems that growing my own seems to give me the most amount of sense of security if it's right outside my door. But the relationships with the farmers and knowing people who produce high-quality food on the island just makes me feel more secure as well, safer, to know people who are highly skilled in this practice. It's what they do. It's what they produce. and developing those relationships, which I know you in so many ways advocate for deepening in those relationships, makes us so much stronger.
I agree. And, you know, it really is an art form. I have a garden myself, a small one, and I try to learn from, you know, all the farmers that I've visited. Through my work, I've been to like 90 farms on this island, small family farms, mostly organic. And, you know, it's all, I learned it's all about the soil, like growing the soil is the trick. And so I struggle with all kinds of pests and get the produce before I do. But there's some people who really have this down to an art form, and they have beautiful gardens with just thriving produce. It's really just a pleasure to be in. And there's quite a few farmers now that are, you know, when I first moved here in 2010, I was told, you know, I thought everything grew well here because it's just so lush and it looks so abundant. But I took a 12-week organic farming course, and I learned that not everything grows here, like tomatoes and melon and squash and garlic. But there are some people now that are like, you know what, it's taking a little extra work, but I'm going to try it because food security matters to them.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting. We're cracking, you know, those most skilled practitioners cracking the code on how we can bring essential plants like garlic as a perfect example. It's always good to focus in on foods that are appropriate to the environment and eating more foods that really are kind of designed for our subtropical climate. But how can you get away without having garlic in your diet? So everybody can stand behind the farmers who are trying to figure that out for Hawaii.
Yeah, and there's one in particular, Cody Meyer. He's the manager at Steelgrass doing their chocolate trees. But he started Sleeping Giant Greens, and he's doing garlic. He experimented a little bit last year. He figured out how to grow some cloves. I think he said that he's going to be able to harvest like 100 pounds of it, which is pretty amazing. And they're right now the cloves are kind of small with like two bulbs with two or three cloves on them. Very, very spicy. He's narrowed down certain varieties that grow well here, but it's a lot of work. It's very tricky. You know, garlic requires 14 hours of daylight, and I guess in peak summer, Kauai only gets 13. So it likes dry. It likes to keep its feet dry. So he's got a lot of challenges, but he's figured it out. I got to taste some of it as he pulled it out of the ground. And it was amazing. And he just sent me an email the other day, and he said he thinks in like a couple of weeks he'll have like baseball-sized bulbs. So he's really figuring out how to make it work.
Well, we're going to have him on the show to, if he's willing to help reveal some of these secrets, combination of technique and variety. That's pretty exciting. I know that Jerry Ross up in Kula Maui had been growing elephant garlic, but that is not the same species, and some people like it fine, but it's not true garlic. So true garlic is definitely one of those golden rings that many people have been grasping for a while. So how exciting that is coming to pass. What are some of the other new plants or plants that are maybe known but unusually grown on Kauai that you're seeing showing up in the restaurants here, if any?
Well, I have seen some spinach, not Malabar spinach, but regular spinach at the farmer's market by Hannah Huang. And I know on the North Shore she does the Hanalei market and the Waipa market. But, you know, it's really a pleasure to see this huge bag full of beautiful spinach that I'm used to seeing, baby spinach. And then as far as restaurants go, I work a lot with John Marie Jocelyn at JO2. The tapas place in Kukui'ula, he no longer opens, and then it switched over to a tapas place, and now it's closed. But he does JO2 in Kapa'a, and he's on one of our food tours our guests get to have a private tasting with him. So I'm interacting with him all the time. He has kiwi. I haven't got to figure, talk to whoever's growing it yet. I just was all over the garlic part when I learned from him about the garlic. But somebody here is growing kiwi as well.
That's amazing. I know that's one that people have tried, and definitely from a different ecotype than Kauai. But people are inspired, and people are figuring it out. It's really super cool. I love seeing that, and I love tasting something that was grown on Kauai that inevitably, if we have it here, it's imported and suffering from the loss of flavor from shipping, as well as maybe not the finest production practices for something mass-grown like kiwi. To eat a locally grown kiwi sounds like pretty heavenly to me. That's fabulous.
Right, and the carbon footprint is insane.
Good point. So, Marta, let's talk about tours, because this is something that is on the minds of many farmers, people who want to contribute the magic of what they're doing, and also look at a way to expand their business, to find another income stream, working so hard every day out in the field, and knowing that as the Garden Island, people come here because they have a sense that ecology and agriculture are things that they want to consume, both experientially as well as on the dinner plate here. It's a perfect match for Kauai to open up the gates of the garden, or the gates of the farm, as it were, and let people in to see how these production practices work. And I know this is something that you've really specialized on, and you're really leading the way for our community, and we're grateful for that.
Well, thank you. It's definitely a challenge. We have 5 food tours that we run every week, and it's really important for me to get the farm aspect in, for people to experience the food from the farm to the table. It's tricky because farms need to be permitted. So we have one tour on the east side that begins at a taro farm, and then we have 2 tours that end at a farmer's market where you can meet the farmers, and then I do a farmer's market tour in Kapa'a where I can introduce people to the farmers, and some, you know, visitors or newcomers are a little apprehensive about the exotic produce here, so I kind of demystify that. And really those are my workarounds to getting people introduced to food at the ground level, I guess, because it's really difficult for farmers to do agritourism in Hawaii. There's a state ordinance where you have to have a special use permit, which requires a lot of, you need a plan approval, you need to have parking, you need to have hearings where your neighbors are involved and they're okay with the potential traffic. You have to have handicap accessible bathrooms. You have to have proof that most of your income comes from growing food. Mm-hmm. You can't just, you know, set up shop and say, "Well, I'm doing ag tours." When you're, the main thing has to be you're growing food and selling it.
Right.
And so it's a little tricky for your average farmer to do all that. And the Big Island has a bill, so they're kind of leading the way in what are the legal guidelines and requirements for farmers to have agritourism happening on their property. And so the Big Island is the only island that has a bill.
Which has been passed. It's enacted now or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it also enables people to do agricultural products, because, you know, once, especially here on Kauai, it's so beautiful, and you get to go to the farm and connect with nature and then be around somebody who's so passionate about growing food. And at the end of it, you know, I'll buy anything they have to sell, whether it's honey or, you know, bee pollen or jams or jellies. And so it's a great way for farmers to make an additional income besides the tour is to sell agricultural products. Mm-hmm. And this new bill with the Big Island enables them to do that.
Great. And so we're going to have a bill like that for Kauai.
Well, we're working on it. I'm on the board of directors for the Hawaii Agritourism Association. It's a nonprofit, and it's statewide helping to get, you know, agritourism in Hawaii easy. And it's led up by Lani Weingart. She actually developed the Lavender Farm in Maui, or helped. And her daughter just went around the world and kind of did a little survey of agritourism worldwide. And surprisingly enough, she found that Hawaii came in eighth, which is amazing. But we really, you know, want to be able to make it more accessible to farmers and visitors alike. Mm-hmm. So we're working, partnering with the Kapa'a Business Association. There's a couple of board members who are farmers and want to do agritourism on their property. So it's kind of the perfect balance between business and farming. And hopefully that the organizational characteristics that you need as an individual to run a business is going to help get this ordinance for Kauai enacted a lot sooner. We're collecting signatures. We had a booth at the at your last feed exchange and got a lot of great signatures. So we have a petition that we're going to submit, and anybody who's interested can show up, because that's the biggest thing, that the biggest obstacle for the Big Island bill was that people who were opposed to it would show up and not the people who were trying to make it happen.
Right.
And so it was very difficult to get it passed.
Yeah, you got to put down your shovel and hoe at some point.
And who's opposed to it?
Neighbors mostly, thinking that it's going to cause a lot of traffic and a lot of disruption to their neighborhood.
Right.
And there was one example of I guess one farm had a dinner on their property, and it was disruptive to the neighbors. And so they kept showing up and making sure that that wasn't going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in this bill, this new bill for Hawaii Island, there is, you know, you can't have activities after sundown. There's a minimum number of people you can have a year and a maximum number. So it's all spelled out, but it's also accessible. You know, it's kind of win-win for everybody, for visitors, farmers, and residents who don't necessarily farm.
Right. Well, I'm sure that we will tailor make the right solution for ourselves, and so thanks so much to your efforts, the Agritourism, Hawaii Agritourism Association, is that correct?
Yeah, it's hiagtourism.org.
Fantastic. And we're speaking with Marta Lane from TastingKauai.com, and we're talking about getting onto the farm and the educational experiences that we can all enjoy, not just the visitors, but people here on Kauai who want to know more about farms, farmers, production, and how the food makes it to their tables or to the farmer's market. It's a pretty cool thing. So, Marta, in addition to the tours that you run, which people can find at TastingKauai.com, you also have a book, and we had you on the show a little while ago when you published the book, and this is a great companion piece as well to the story of food on Kauai and where you can find it and get it in your mouth, get it in your face. So let us know about that, and so cool to visit the website and see that you have an app too, because people don't read books as much as they should anymore. But everybody's got their smartphone handy.
And the app is really great for me. Sometimes I'll be in the mood for something light or quick or whatever, and so we have these filters where you can search by price range, location on the island, dress code, if you want vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free. So it makes it really easy to find what you're looking for. And as we speak, I'm updating the book, which... once I get the text done, and my husband will do add his lovely photography and do the layout, and then we'll have to, you know, send it off to get it printed. So we should have them within a couple months. But the app is updated every month. Mm. It's a lot easier than the book. And we're really, really excited. I have to thank Zindi Labs and Kappa'a for doing the app for us. They did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. And so at current state, roundabout, where are you at in terms of the number of restaurants? And I'm not sure I was specific to the fact that these are restaurant guides for Kauai.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
And you didn't mention the name of the book.
The name of the book is Tasting Kauai Restaurants, An Insider's Guide to Eating Well on the Garden Island. Mm-hmm. And I named it that because I'm a food writer. I had a column for 4 years in the local paper, and now I'm focusing all my energy on my company, Tasting Kauai. And there's, you know, more than 700 restaurants on this island, so the book does not include all of those. I focus on restaurants that make fresh food from scratch using local ingredients whenever possible. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to do that, and I really want to honor the people who go out of their way and take the time to get some local products on their menu, even if it's just lettuce. Last edition, there was like, I think around 125 listings. But I'm halfway through it. We've got five zones, North Shore, East Side, Central, South Shore, and West Side. So I'm working on Central, today. And I haven't even been able to add, but we've taken out a lot of restaurants that closed and added a lot of new restaurants that have opened. So the next edition is going to be pretty beefy.
Marta, I had my mother on the island for a month. And we went nowhere without that book. It was awesome. And we ate in the best places. I love your recommendations. I love how you have your favorites there. And thank you so much. It really enriched the experience.
Oh, my God. Thank you. That's the best. I love hearing that. I really... thank you.
Yay.
Yay, yeah.
I can imagine, too. I'm really looking forward to getting this app myself. It seems like sometimes when you're hungry, your brain doesn't work so well to remember where to eat, too. So having it handy on my phone is going to sort of remind me or spur me on to some new discoveries. And sometimes when we're at our hungriest, it's kind of when we're on the run and we didn't know we were going to be in the Lihue area, the Kapa'a area, later than, you know, roundabout time where I need to get some food. And so having an assistant waiting for me on my phone sounds like just the help I need.
That's a great way to put it. And I'm really happy to learn that you ate well. That's my goal. It breaks my heart when people come here and they're disappointed in the food, because we have a lot of people here who make some really great food with really great ingredients that care about it. And those are the guys that I focus on.
It's like when you have a friend on the island and you can ask them where's a good place to eat, right? And you're not following the guidebook. You're just like, yeah, actually these are the places that people like to eat and it's good.
Yay.
Yeah. So, Marta, thank you so much for that. And as well, you help to coordinate one of the beloved events here on Kauai, and I'm talking about the Coconut Festival that happens every year in Kapa'a. Coconuts being one of our most important cultural and food security plants here in the Hawaiian Islands. And I am ashamed to say I've never been to the Coconut Festival. But I'm looking forward to participating in partnership with you this year, and maybe could say a few words about the event itself and how people could get involved if they were interested and what we're looking at for this year.
Well, the event takes place every first weekend in October. So this year it's October 1st and 2nd, Saturday and Sunday. I think it's in its 25th year. It was started by Bob Bartolo. He lives in Wailua. He grows chocolate now. And he does a cooking section where they have cooking demonstrations throughout the day on Saturday. So I'll be working with him this year to maybe change it up a little bit. we're still working on that, and there's nothing I can tell you yet because nothing is solidified, I guess. Mm-hmm. But we do have a contest for residents or visitors to experience where they submit a recipe using coconut, and then Sam Choi is going to come in and be the judge for that, and that'll happen on Sunday. And then, yes, I'm looking forward to working with you, Paul, on the Life of a Coconut presentation that we'll be creating together.
That's going to be really fun, and thanks so much for that opportunity as well. And looking forward to working together with the team on helping to present on the love of and the over 100 uses, crucial uses of the coconut tree. I'm thinking, too, about the place where it's held there, seaside in Kapa'a at the community park there. And I'm thinking there are some coconut trees, and I'm wondering if they're county trees that are there in the county park or just outside the confines of the park itself.
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I'm pretty sure there are. I just had the inspiration how great it would be if they're on a regular trimming schedule, if maybe that trimming could get delayed just a little while so that the trimming could actually happen during the festival and people could experience the climbers. I don't think they're particularly tall trees in that area, and if it was outside of the actual festival grounds, maybe it could get cordoned off and from a safety perspective, then people could actually see the trimming happen. That'd be pretty cool.
You know, that's a fantastic idea. I got to interview Natalie and Hui, who are a couple who harvest coconuts and sell them at the farmers markets, and they sell the water. And it's very specific, and they do it in a way where it doesn't harm the trunk of the tree, and they're able to shimmy up there, and it's, you know, pretty hard work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great idea.
Cool.
Fascinating to watch them.
Well, maybe
I
saw
Natalie do it when she was 8 months pregnant.
Wow. And now their minis are going up the tree with them. So it's pretty awesome.
It.
Pretty awesome. So, yes, thank you for that. And thanks so much for being part of our community and contributing in a multitude of interconnected ways that really honor the efforts of the growers here on Kauai and help to feature their work and help to build our economy in the way that we want by creating sustainable agro-tourism opportunities for all of us. You know, tourism will continue to be important here in the Hawaiian Islands, and there's everything right about turning some of the focus toward the agricultural efforts that are being made.
I agree. And thank you guys for all you do to help us grow better food and grow our own food.
We love
really
it.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely. And once again, would you please give out any contact information for your work that you would like our listeners to know?
So if you would like to learn about Hawaii agritourism or follow that effort, you can go to HIAGtourism.org. You can also connect with the Kapa'a Business Association here at a local level. And then if you want to know about where we like to eat, you can visit tastingkauai.com.
Yum.
Yum.
Yum, yum. Well, I'll see you out there in front of the food.
All right. Enjoy. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Marta.
Thanks, Marta. Aloha.
Aloha. Right.
Marta Lane. And just as a tie-in to that, before we move on to our next topic, I want to play a special thanks to the local food producers who provided such a great diversity of delicious food during our spring membership drive here at KKCR.
KKCR and its volunteers would like to thank the following food donors for their generosity during our spring fun drive. Harvest Market and Kayla Coberly in Hanalei. Hideaway's Pizza Pub in Princeville. North Shore General Store in Princeville. The Greenery Cafe in Lihue. Ono Pops. Pauhana Pizza in Kilauea. Tiki Iniki in Princeville. Yakurus Organic Bagelry. Cousin Rich. Tiki Tacos in Kapa'a. Hanai in Kapa'a. The Be Kind Apiary. Tiny Isle Chocolate Truffles, John Gordon, Barracuda in Hanalei, Kauai Beekeepers Association, Coconut Cup in Kapa'a, Kalia Farm Market, Phytolicious Foods, Ninth Island Sports Bar and Grill. Mahalo for the Ono Grinds from KKCR.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to say I was there when some of these food items arrived for our spring membership drive. So, yeah, you kept us fueled, and that kept our brains working properly, and we were able to reach to exceed our goal. Total donations raised during the spring membership drive, $61,655, $1,740 raised right here on In the Garden on the Farm, thanks to some very generous listeners, and we're super stoked. We do have a couple of early, we have our winners of the prizes. John and Kapa'a won the early bird stay for two at the Hanalei Bay Resort, and the grand prize winner of a kayak was Janie in Kilauea. Janie! I hope that's the Janie I know in Kilauea. That's super fun.
You want to ride?
Yeah, I want to go on a kayak ride. It's time. It's the time of year for sure. And kayak rides make me think of canoes and the plants that form the basis of food security here on Kauai. We do have an event that Marshall and I will both be participating in coming up this Saturday, June the 4th, beginning at 4 p.m. at the Hanalei Community Center, an event put together by the Hanalei Watershed Hui with partners, and it's called Get Ready Halelea, Halelea being the moku or land division that encompasses from Ka Beach, I believe, through to Kalihiwai. And so we're part of that up here, and the station's part of Halelea, and it's about being prepared to survive the storm, the flood, the hurricane, whatever sort of natural or maybe even unnatural disasters might accompany us. And Marshall and I are passionate on this issue, and Marshall takes some multiple approaches to contributing in that way. And Marshall, can you share a little bit about some of the disaster preparedness things that you do for our community?
Sure. Well, at this event, I'll be with the Public Service Communications Group, which is a portion of ham radio operators who train with FEMA in order to be able to communicate effectively in any kind of incident or disaster and relay emergency information around. I'm very new to this, actually. I'm just taking the online FEMA course now, the Incident Command System, and it's cool, you know. They have hammered it out over about 30 years, gotten down how they can apply a flexible sort of universal system of command and control to interagency operations. Mm-hmm. So we'll be there practicing a little bit of that.
Great. Fabulous. And immediate response, what we do in the first 24 hours, and probably even 6 hours, or I don't know the time frames you guys think about, but immediate response to disasters is so crucial to ensuring the integrity of our community, responding to life-threatening situations in the immediate term. But of course, there's the longer-term issues over a period of days and weeks where we may have reduced access to resources, one of the chief among them being food resources. And for that purpose, Regeneration's Botanical Garden will also be representing that concept of food security and getting ready now and being prepared so that if we're cut off, I mean, hurricanes can close the road completely and access, never mind whether or not the store shelves are empty, you can't even get to the store. You're going to have to depend on perhaps more than the canned food that you have in your larder, not to say you shouldn't have that, but having the proper plants available from a food security issue is totally crucial. And we have access to these plants. We are growing these plants, Marshall and I collaborating at Akamai Backyard, as well as the Kauai Food Forest. And these are some of the standby plants that we utilize. And learning how to use them is as important as making sure that they're planted correctly. And so I thought that in the remaining few minutes of the show, we could give at least a list of some of the plants that we like to utilize. But when we talk about these plants, I'm interested to know just right off the bat, Marshall, what would be maybe the first plant that comes to mind for you that you'd want to make sure you had growing right outside your door?
Chaya, absolutely. The tree spinach.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I remember years and years and years ago just thinking, I saw a little film on giraffes eating leaves out of trees, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if it were that simple? Right? And so it is, really. Here's this small tree that supplies an abundance of dark leafy greens. According to one source, the most nutritious land-based leafy green that there is. So it has to be cooked, and it's a slightly different flavor than the other dark leafy greens. So exactly when you say we need to get used to eating these, it's not something that you all of a sudden want to have to turn to as a staple in your diet if you've never had it before and don't know how to cook it and aren't used to tasting it. But it's actually quite good once you get it down.
And so you actually want to start using it now so you know how to use it.
Right. And why not? You know, really, there's no need to buy greens if you've got a chaya tree in your backyard.
Right, right. And so I followed your instructions on the collection and preparation of chaya, which does have an irritant sap to it that can cause itchiness. But collecting the leaves in the manner in which you described, simply plucking the leaf off of the petiole or leaf stem and just making a pile of them and making a stack of them, if you will, and placing them in boiling water, just like that.
Yeah.
And you cook them for only 10 minutes?
No, 15.
Oh, 15, okay.
Although there was a woman from the Yucatan visiting the food forest who got really excited when she saw it and said, "Mine spinach! Mine spinach! We eat that all the time." And she said 10 minutes. And so, you know, I'm tempted to say, okay, let everybody 10 minutes, but mm-hmm. other sources say 15. So I would stick with it.
Cool. And this is a plant that is so easy to share with your friends because it's going to grow. It's going to grow a lot. We have learned not to plant too much chaya because it is a bit of a management issue because it's so vigorous, but an essential food source to have. And one of those plants that you really don't need to tend. So I think that in this brief discussion we're able to have, I would just give a list of plants that are going to survive even extreme weather pretty well, and there'll be food waiting for you even after a giant storm or even, God forbid, a hurricane comes to pass. Of course, there's a plethora of fruit trees that would be valuable to have, but I'm just going to run down the list. We could go into some detail of them later on in a upcoming show, but the quick list I put, and I'd be interested to hear if you had anything that I had forgotten, of course, kalo or taro, I would suggest particularly from a food security standpoint, the Iliwawa variety or pake variety, because it doesn't matter if you harvest it on time. The pigs don't seem interested in digging it out of the ground, and you can grow that year by year. A plant that's similar in the same family, malanga, or the coco yam, another plant that you can establish in the landscape and just not have to harvest it until you need it and doesn't require much care. Of course, tapioca or cassava, related to the chaya, with a very nutritious green leaf as well as the root.
Right. Again, something you don't want to all of a sudden have to rely on as a staple. You
right.
want to get used to cooking cassava and used to eating it.
But so many wonderful recipes can be made, and I hope that...
Oh, yeah, it's yummy.
See
yeah.
it showing up more on the market shelves or more on the restaurant plates coming up soon. Of course, moringa, the miracle tree, Moringa oleifera, a plant that even if it was broken or completely denuded in a high wind situation is just going to be re-sprouting and growing again and again. Of course, our beloved katuk as well, or pakwan, high I'm not sure how close it is up to chaya in terms of its nutrition factor, but very high nutrition green that can be eaten raw or cooked and can be completely pruned back and will resprout new shoots. So again, if damaged in a storm, can recover very well.
And what a great flavor too. Very nutty and easy to work with. You just strip the bite-sized leaves off the stem. Yep. You're good to go.
Indeed. Bananas, of course, important food security plant for the Hawaiian culture pre-European contact, and can be relied upon to recover well after storm damage, too. And we would definitely recommend the dwarf namwa as a type of banana you could establish well and be highly productive with little to no care here. Chayote, a plant that's featured at Akamai Backyard, once chayote establishes the greens as well, of course, the fruit of this squash relative, mm-hmm. highly nutritious and couldn't be easier to grow.
Yeah, or cook, really. Cooks up pretty quickly, has a nice translucent quality to it, and it's tasty, very mild.
I think I might have some in my car. Felicia sent me off with breakfast, and there's at least a 75% chance that chayote is some part of that breakfast. So thanks, Felicia, for that. Edible hibiscus or Tongan spinach, so easy to grow, nutritious. Again, you want to get used to figuring out how to prepare it. But for somebody who needs greens on the run and doesn't have time to maintain a garden plot, edible hibiscus couldn't be easier to grow. Beans are great. Wing beans and lima beans would be some suggestions of long-bearing plants. The root, even if the wing bean is edible and nutritious. Then I'd throw in, of course, breadfruit, and thanks to the Breadfruit Institute for making those so available, although they are susceptible to wind damage, but can recover even from that and is a key food security plant. And papaya, important, can recover from wind damage as well, is both a vegetable as well as a fruit, mm-hmm. whether it's eaten green or ripe. And pigeon pea, because we got to be building our soil at the same time, edible and nutritious to the soil as well. And I think I forgot uhi, the Hawaiian yam, mm-hmm. a plant that doesn't need to be harvested until you need it. And if you wait several years, you might have a root weighing dozens of pounds.
Really, you can just let it sit underground.
You can just let it sit, and it's just going to stay waiting, ready for you. So a list of easy-to-establish food security plants. We want to see them more available. We have all of these plants growing either in the food forest or stored at the Kauai Community Seed Bank, and we're going to be there advocating for people who want to be prepared to be planting them up. And we're going to be doing that at this Saturday's Get Ready Halelea event happening this Saturday at 4 p.m. at the Hanalei Community Center. Thanks to the Hanalei Watershed Hui for pulling